My father is 86 years old and is confined to a wheelchair, has basically lost the use of most of the power muscles of his body, so that when he lies down in bed, he's not able to pick his arm up or pick his leg up. He has to be turned over. His mind is still very, very clear. In fact, as his body slows down, his mind seems to speed up. My body and mind are slowing down together. His is quite different, and therefore he's imprisoned in a body that is not functioning correctly, and is very dependent upon my mother. And when she got sick this last week, and the sciatic nerve began acting up a little bit, and other things that happen to 80-year-old women, why, suddenly everything was into a panic stage. And so fortunately, we have some very dear friends in Vero Beach who have watched out for them, but I had to go down last night and spend the night just to kind of nurse the two of them. It was a very good and healthy experience for me. I'm a firm believer in the promise that's given in the fifth commandment, which is the only commandment which is given with promise, you know, concerning honoring father and mother. And I really believe that God blesses those of us who put a priority on that, no matter how old they are or how far away they are or anything else. But children who put a priority on honoring their parents are blessed by God, and I didn't want to miss that blessing. So I went last night and just had a delightful time. Didn't get much sleep. I was up a great deal of the night doing things that orderlies in hospitals do, and it was good. It was very good. So I appreciate your prayers. They're both back to normal. Somebody asked me if they were okay, and I said, no, they're just back to normal. And so we want your continuing prayers in that matter. I've got something I'd like to say to you tonight before we continue on. By the way, I don't know, I'm not familiar with the sound system. Am I being heard okay back there? Everything okay? Fine. Thank you, Craig. You're right on target. When I received the filling experience of the Holy Spirit, and I don't try to explain nor apologize for that, back in 1968, I came at the experience. My objections to the experience were basically psychological and emotional. I had been scared of Pentecostals, because I felt that their experience in worship, their expression of the experience in worship, was basically emotional. And my experience through my education and through my training and through my own personal experience was that my relationship with God should be unemotional. In fact, that all of my relationships should be unemotional, that a display of emotion was a sign of weakness and a sign of immaturity, and that the mature person was in control. That meant he didn't weep, he didn't laugh uproariously, he didn't shake his hands or do a whole lot of other things. And I still believe that one of the essence of maturity is a concept of control. In fact, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, that we're not to let ourselves get out of control. But I also know that my experience with the Holy Spirit was an emotional kind of experience. The emotions are a very real part of my life, and I had tapped them in, had screwed the top very tight on that particular jar in my life, and had not let any kind of emotional expression fill my life. And therefore, I was not a well-rounded person. I was not a whole person in any way. And therefore, the experience that I had was a tremendously emotional experience. And that was the thing that I feared had come upon me. And I remember that the night before, or the night that this happened in my in my long discourse with an Episcopal priest, who was a Spirit-filled Episcopal priest, concerning the filling of the Holy Spirit, the function of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, that the objection I threw at him, more than any other objection, was that this was basically an auto-suggestion thing, almost a self-hypnosis, that anybody could psych themselves up to this extent that they would do strange things. If you say the word hippopotamus fast enough and loudly enough, you will eventually speak in some kind of other tongue. And that's so, by the way. You can generate anything you want to in that, but the mature person would not do that. And so when I came into the experience, it was against my objections. I deliberately held back. I dug my heels in and said, if anything happens to me, God will have to do it because I'm not going to cooperate with him, at least in this area, because I didn't think it was God, and it happened anyway. And my life was revolutionized on February 24th, 1968. I can put my finger on the time and the place and a lot of other things. That's when the freedom came. And I know that it's not something that I worked myself into, but it was an outside force that came into my life or upon my life or however you may describe it. But it was not something within. It was not. It was an unlocking of something in my life. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you tonight is because there are still a lot of us who would try to explain away the supernatural with emotional or psychological or physical explanation of what has happened. Many of the miracles of the Bible are easily explained away by people who are good at explanation. I've heard explanations of many of these miracles. Actually, what happened at the wedding in Cana was that Jesus really didn't turn the water into wine, that those wine pots had been so filled with wine for so many years that the clay in the pots had just saturated the wine, and therefore when they put new water into it, it just drew all that good wine out of the pores of the clay, and therefore there was wine. And it really is a very logical explanation, and many other explanations for things like this. The one explanation people can't give is the resurrection experience, which is the reason that Paul says that this is the center and the key and the core to our entire Christian life, is the fact that here was a man who was dead, who was raised from the dead, and is not in the grave anymore. But so many of us still, way down deep inside, want to give some kind of psychological explanation to healing or many, many other things. Or we say that there resides in certain gifted people the ability to draw out of us these things which are already within. And in the drawing out of these, miracles happen, but actually that there is an explanation behind them. And so we talk about people who have what we call charisma. Catherine Kuhlman had charisma. She was able, through her own personality and her theatrical manner, to draw out of people. People would come with an expectation. They would come and generate this expectation, and in this something would happen. Or others can do this. Or we will set an emotional mood in a service. Turn the lights down soft, have soft organ music and strings and things like this. The one who is ministering will do it in a very soft voice, and he will touch little emotional chords along the way. He will talk about mother and how it used to be at Thanksgiving and sleigh rides over the snow and this kind of thing, and so develop the mood that when it comes time for something to happen, that it draws out of us something that is already within. Now, we had a prayer meeting just before the service tonight. A group of us gathered in a room, and while we were praying, the Lord really began dealing with me, saying that he wanted to manifest himself tonight so that he would get glory, and that there would be no logical explanation for what was going to happen in his getting the glory. When we begin to read through what the biblical writers say, we'll find that over and over and over again they say, we find it in the book of Job, we find it in the book of Isaiah, we find Paul saying it to the Romans, saying it again in the book of Jude, we find Jesus saying it time and time and time again, that you cannot comprehend God. In other words, you can't figure him out, you can't logically explain him, you can't psychologically or emotionally or physically comprehend God, who is a person, force, far bigger than any of us. And I believe that he wants to manifest himself tonight. Before we go into any teaching session, that there is to be a manifestation of the presence of God and the power of God in a way which will defy psychological or emotional or physical explanation. I believe there's some of you here tonight who need healing in your body. Deep emotional healing, inner healing, physical healing. Some of you are very weary. Some of you are anxious. Some of you are terribly dissatisfied and unhappy. Some of you have secret problems that you have not revealed to anybody else, but that when you get all alone, you think about these things and your heart beats faster because you have not been able to solve them yourself. Now, I think I've said enough probably to include all of you in this. I could go on with that, but what I'm saying is that everybody here tonight needs ministry to the extent that we don't want to be the way we are. We want to be changed. We want to move on from our physical position to a higher spiritual plane. Now, we could set the mood for this. Bruce could come and could speak and could stir us. Bruce said earlier that he felt like a bobcat, and I think that would probably stir the group here tonight if we turned him loose, claws and all. But he could stir us, and then we could have soft music and dim the lights and have altar ministry, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's just exactly what God's saying. But we'll do something else tonight, because I believe God wants to manifest himself. I believe that each one of you here tonight has a measure of the Holy Spirit within you. And because you have that measure of the Holy Spirit, then he will use you. It may be a little tiny measure, or it may be a great big measure. Maybe you're a charismatic person with lots of charisma, or maybe you're just very tired and sleepy tonight and even having trouble before we get started. But that's okay. The measure of the Holy Spirit is within you. And we're going to see something tonight about the body of Christ that's going to defy psychological, physical explanation in healing. I had a real desire tonight while we were praying in the room to get out there and to pray for some of you, to lay my hands on you and this kind of thing. And the Lord began to check me on this and said, no, if you do that, then they're going to say it's because it's Janie or Ray or Roger or Kerman or Bruce or whoever else it may be. Because they did it, therefore, it drew this thing out of me that was there anyway. And I think God wants to manifest himself in a way which is much, much larger and beautiful, more beautiful than that.